Welcome to Covenant's Pulpit Ministry. Covenant Evangelical Free Church believes that the Bible is the Word of God and that God's Word is vital for life-transforming Christianity. We trust that you will grow to know the Word of God and, more importantly, the God of the Word as you hear this message today. May God bless you as you open your heart to His Word.
Good morning, everyone. Before we dive in to read the Word of God, let me ask you a quick question. Have you ever tried communicating a special message in the form of a special code to someone so that outsiders wouldn't understand? Give you an example. When my boys were young, when I needed to communicate something to Felix and I didn't want my sons to know about it, I would embed the message in the language of Cantonese. So, for example, I would tell Felix, means, let's put them to sleep. After they sleep, we'll watch a movie. So we did that for a few years and made the message in the language of Cantonese until one day, Caleb was about 5-6 years old, he managed to decode it. And then he said, Ma, you are putting me to sleep, then after that, watching a movie, right? Until today, I still don't know how he was able to decode the Cantonese. I guess it was because when he was much younger, Felix would carry him in his arm. He would bring him to the food court, point at the food posters and telling him, Ha gao siu mai chi chong fan. That was the closest that I could guess. Maybe he picked up Cantonese in that way. Today, Jesus continues to embed special message in parables, so that only those who have ears can decode and understand. So in the two verses that we will cover, Matthew chapter 13, verses 34 to 35, this is what the passage says. All these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world. So today, may God open our ears to understand and hear the heartbeat of God that has been hidden since the foundation of the world. May God open our ears to understand the special message that has been embedded in the three parables that we will cover today. Today's sermon is titled, Build God's Kingdom, taken from Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 to 43. Before we dive in to read the three parables, let us pray. Father, fill us with your Spirit to understand your word. May your word pierce through our hearts. Help us not just be hearers, but doers of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last Sunday, Goyi covered the parable of the four soils. Today, we will cover three parables. But the three parables are not pointing to three different messages. The three parables point to one single message, that God will continue to build his kingdom, even when evil seems to flourish, even when efforts done in the name of Jesus appear so insignificant. So let us start with the first point of today's sermon. God will continue to build his kingdom even when evil seems to flourish. Let us read from Matthew 13, verses 24 to 30 from the ESV version, and this is what it says. Jesus put another parable before them, saying, The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and ran away. So when the plants came out and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds? The master said to them, An enemy has done this. So the servant said to him, Then do you want us to go and gather them? But he said, No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the harvest I will tell the reapers, Gather the weeds first, bind them in bundles to be burnt, and gather the wheat into my barn. Back in those days, it was very common for rival farmers to sow bad seeds in someone else's field, such that the Rome had a law against people doing that. So the bad seeds are known as darnel. They are poisonous weeds. So in the initial stage, it wouldn't be easy to spot the difference between the bad seed and good seed. But the moment the head of the grain appears with the leaves, that's when the farmer will realize that is the weeds. So because the roots of the weeds and the roots of the wheat, they're all intertwined. If you pull, you pull the entire field. So the wisdom of the master says, let both grow together. Until the harvest time, you separate them. The disciples didn't understand the parable. They didn't understand the special message hidden in the parable. So they asked Jesus for an explanation in verses 36 to 34. It says in 36, then Jesus left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him saying, explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. He answered, the one who sows good seed is the Son of Man, the field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. So essentially, it means the son of the devil and the son of God's people will coexist together until the harvest time, until the end of age. Verse 40, just as the weeds are gathered and burnt with fire, so will it be at the end of age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. He who has ears, let him hear. So essentially, this parable is saying this, according to scholar Grant Osborne. This parable is not about Jesus teaching an imminent coming of kingdom, but is getting his disciples ready for a lengthy period. The evil will exist along the good until the eschaton. That means the evil and the good will exist together until the end of age, until the second coming of Christ. It's going to be a long wait before the evil will be removed completely, before the weeds will be removed completely. And God's people must not be discouraged, must not be distracted. They must take care of the field and wait for the kingdom seeds to be awakened. The disciples did not understand the special message in this parable. If I were the disciples, I would have lots of questions too. Because the disciples knew that Jesus was the Messiah. They wanted and expected Jesus to overthrow the Roman Empire, which has been oppressing them for years. They expected him to do it now. God's people waited for the Messiah, not just 1 year, 2 years, 400 years. They expected him to overthrow, to remove the evil now. Definitely not a lengthy period of time of waiting. Definitely not coexisting, the evil and the good coexisting together. They didn't understand. They had lots of questions. How could the evil and the good coexist when the Messiah is already here? Jesus' reply caught them by surprise. And 2,000 years later, Jesus' reply can catch us by surprise as well. Because the question and the truth is this, how many of us really believe that God is growing his kingdom? God will continue to grow his kingdom even when evil is flourishing in our lives and in our land. How many of us really believe that? We look at so much evil in the world today. Take a look at the news in the world. How many of us really can stand up and say, you still believe that God is still on the throne? God will grow his kingdom. Because the truth is that when we look at the flourishing bad seeds in our lives, we are discouraged, we are distracted. We see injustice, bullying, unkindness in our community, in the world we live in. We experience sickness, trials, tribulations in our personal life. We experience brokenness, despair, rejection, shame. That's what our world is. The bad seeds are flourishing in our lives. We face unloving spouse, difficult children, challenging home situation. This list can go on and on. And the question is, how many of us still believe that God will continue to grow his kingdom amidst the evil? Even when the evil and the good are coexisting, how many of us really believe that God is on the throne and he's still in control? Because some of us here are struggling with the lies that the devil has been sowing in our hearts. Since the weeds are flourishing in our lives, it must mean lie number one. God is not in control. Some of us are struggling with this lie. Since the bad seeds are flourishing, it must mean lie number two, God doesn't care about my pain and suffering. Maybe he cares for someone sitting next to me, he doesn't care about me. Some of us are struggling with lie number three. Why bother going all in, since nothing will change? Since the evil and good will coexist in my lifetime, why bother to go all in? When the pastor stand here to tell us to go all in, deep down in your hearts, you feel that, why bother? Because the evil will still be here in my life. The injustice will still be here. And we are still experiencing so much pain. Why bother? My brothers and sisters in Christ, today God wants us to look at the passage, understand the special message hidden in the parable, that God will grow his kingdom even when the evil seems to flourish in our lives. God wants us to open our eyes to see the kingdom seeds that he has sown in our hearts in the world. The kingdom seeds are awakening and growing. Do you not see? Do you not hear? Yes, we experience injustice, bullying, and unkindness. But God has given us love. 1 Corinthians 13:7 says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. We experience injustice, bullying, but his seed of love in our hearts can help us to bear it and endure it. We experience tribulations, but John 16:33 says, in the world, you will have tribulation. But Jesus says, take heart. Jesus has overcome the world. He said that in us. He planted that seed in us. Take heart. He has overcome the world. We experience brokenness. But the word says in Psalms 34 verse 18, the Lord is close to those who are brokenhearted. He will save those who are crushed in the spirit. He has sown that seed in us. Do you not see? Do you not hear? We face challenging home situation. But he says in his word, 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. God has sown in us seeds of hope, his love, his joy, his presence, his grace, so much in our lives. And he wants us to believe that he is still on the throne. He will continue to grow his kingdom, even when evil seems to flourish in our land. So my brothers and sisters in Christ, just because the evil is not removed, it doesn't mean God is not on the move. God is delaying the removal of the bad seeds so that more people may return and repent. Some of you need to renounce the lies that you have believed for too long, that he doesn't care, he's not working in your life. Renounce it in the name of Jesus, quietly in your heart, and you just say, God, forgive me for believing in those lies. Today, I want to renounce it in the name of Jesus. Today, I want to believe that you will continue to grow your kingdom. Even when evil seems to flourish, today, open my eyes to see the kingdom seeds that are awakening and growing. God will continue to grow his kingdom even when evil seems to flourish, even when efforts done in the name of Jesus appear so insignificant. Jesus goes on to tell two other parables. The two other parables are not two different messages. It tells the same thing. God will build his kingdom. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 to 33, this is what Jesus says. He tells another two more parables. Jesus put another parable before them saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds. But when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour till it was leavened. So is the mustard seed the smallest physical seed in the entire world? The answer is no. Jesus said it, described it that way as a hyperbole. It's just to tell the people a small seed can grow to a big tree and such that the birds can come and take shelter and build the nest there. The birds coming to a tree is mentioned in different Old Testament passages. It signifies Israel, God's people's missional call to bring blessings to the Gentiles. So the birds refer to the Gentiles, that a small seed can grow to a big tree and bless not just the Jews, but the Gentiles as well. The birds can come and take shelter. The birds are referring to the Gentiles. On that same note, a small amount of leaven can impact and permeate the entire dough of 3 measures of flour. 3 measures of flour is not meant to feed one family. It's feeding one entire village of 150 people. So it means small amount of leaven can permeate and impact such a big dough to feed the entire village. These 2 parables tells us don't despise the smallness in God's kingdom. Whether is it a small seed, a small amount of leaven, they can have huge impact. Efforts done in the name of Jesus appear insignificant, but they can have huge impact in the growth of the kingdom of heaven. So what is one kingdom action when it's done in the name of Jesus can have a huge impact in God's kingdom? Think about it, and in 10 seconds, you can share your thoughts, your idea, your answer with the friend sitting next to you. What do you think is one kingdom action done in the name of Jesus can have great impact? Go ahead, 10 seconds. What do you think? If I have a microphone, I will volunteer some answers from all of you because I think there are a lot of wise people around us. There are many, many, many good answers, okay? Many good answers. But today, I'm going to just highlight on one small kingdom action done in the name of Jesus, and it can have great impact. Praying. Praying in the name of Jesus appears so insignificant. It can so insignificant, but it can have great impact. Praying is so insignificant because yet it can have great impact. It can permeate God's light into the kingdom, like the leaven permeating the entire dough, feeding the entire village. Sometimes we think praying is like, wow, coughing out 1 hour, 2 hours, praying and interceding for people. But praying can be simple prayers in the name of Jesus. It can powerfully grow God's kingdom both in our hearts and in the world. Praying can be as simple as this: waking up and whispering to God, "Thank you, Jesus, for the new day." It can be as simple as praising God when you see a beautiful sunset or receiving a good news. It can be just, "Thank you, Jesus." Praying can be saying, "God, help me in the middle of chaos, uncertainties, whether it is in your office, in school, or receiving your health report." Praying can be as simple as confessing, telling God, "God, I messed up again. Give me your grace and your forgiveness." Simple prayers can be laying down on the bed at night and telling God, "You are still good. I believe you are still good." Simple prayers could be praying for your children when you don't see changes and trusting that God will move and change your children. Praying for your spouse even when he or she treats you unkindly. Lastly, praying for those who are pre-believers to know Jesus. They can be as simple as, "God, please help this person to know you. In the name of Jesus, I pray." As simple as that. I want to share with you a personal story. When Felix and myself got married, we shifted to a new estate, got to know new neighbors. And then we did simple things like just praying for our neighbors, either by name, if we know their names, or by unit. So it was just simple weekly praying, "God, can you bless this unit, this family, to know Jesus?" And we did that for a few years. Simple prayers done in the name of Jesus. One day, I was walking to the MRT station, and then I saw Iris staying on the same floor, one of the units. So we walked to the MRT station together. Then I said, "Hey, Iris, this Saturday, my church Hokkien service has a service. Would your dad be keen to attend, keen and free to attend?" Then Iris said, "Okay, let me ask my dad." So her dad replied and said, yeah, my dad is keen and he's free." So Felix fetched Iris and the father to the Hokkien service. Iris rededicated her life. Uncle prayed to receive Christ. They both settled down in our BPJ Hokkien ministry. They both grew in the Lord and then got baptized and then started serving in our Hokkien ministry. Fast forward some years later, I moved out of the estate already. And then Pastor Gilbert said, "Hey, Pastor Sharon, do you know uncle passed away? I said, oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, thank you for the information. I will go down to the wake to pay respect. Then Pastor Gilbert continued and said, but you must know this story. Out of Iris and uncle's life, they subsequently impacted their entire family, their kampong, their extended families, and one by one prayed to receive Christ. So when I look at this picture, I was humbled. Humbled by the power of prayer. All we did was just weekly praying for our neighbors. God bless this unit to know Jesus. And you can see prayers often feel so insignificant, but they can permeate God's light into the darkness like the leaven permeating the dough. And today, I share this story to remind us praying can feel so insignificant because you cannot see things moving. But God will use the prayer in the name of Jesus to grow His kingdom. So we are in a 40-day prayer season. If you have not started praying together using the 40-day Love Singapore Prayer Journal, I want to encourage you, take a picture and then today, just Google Love Singapore 40-day prayer and start to use that to pray together as a body of Christ. Because when we do it together in the spirit of unity, in the name of Jesus, there's something happening in the land and I don't want you to miss it. So because we are in a 40-day prayer season, we want to be both hearers and doers of God's word. We want to understand and apply the special message embedded in the three parables today. I want to lead you to pray together. There's no other way to practice the word of God today except to pray together. So in the next 5 minutes, we will pair up and pray together. Pray with somebody sitting next to you and I will guide you step by step through the three slides that we will cover. If you don't know the brother or sister next to you, it's okay. Just say, let's pray in the name of Jesus together and make a new friend, okay? So, in the first slide we are doing right now is that pray for ourselves first. As I mentioned, some of you need to renounce the lies that there's so much evil that you're experiencing in your life. You need to renounce that God is not in control. God doesn't care. Renounce it in the name of Jesus. And then in your prayer time, pray for yourself that God will set His rule and reign in our hearts. Pray for yourselves that He will increase in our lives, that He will unveil why we are made in this world. We will find purpose and meaning in Him. We pray that God will set your hearts ablaze like wildfire. Pray that God will fill you with His Spirit and fill you with His power. Okay? Let us pair and pray. We're not going to rush through this together because we're in the 40-day prayer season. Let's pray and I'll guide you when it's about the time to switch to the next slide. Let us pray. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for being distracted by the evil, discouraged by the injustice we see in our lives. Forgive us for believing that you're not in control. Today we renounce the lies in the name of Jesus as a body, as a church. We renounce it in the name of Jesus. Set our hearts on fire. That we were burned with one passion and purpose to know you and make you known, to build your kingdom. Do it in our lives, our hearts. That our hearts will beat with your cause, your kingdom, your will, your word. Do it in us. Don't pass us by. Don't pass us by. Build it in us. Build it in us. We are not satisfied in where we are. We want more. More. Grant revival to us. There's so much more we desire. Open our eyes to see what we are made for. Open our eyes to live out your purpose and will, so that when we are on our deathbed, we know that we have lived a good life. We have fought a good fight for your glory. Help us not to waste our lives away. Revive us, Lord. 30 more seconds. Your partner should be praying right now. 30 more seconds and we will move to the next slide. 10 more seconds. In the second slide, I want you to pray for those of you who are parents, pray for your children. For those of you in a CG, pray for your CG mate. Pray for the church. Pray for people you know in this church. Some of your children have left church. They are not walking with the Lord right now. Pray that they will seek God's kingdom first. They will hunger and thirst for God. They will not run to anywhere else except God. That they will not waste their lives away. Pray for our loved ones in the church that Jesus will be their joy and their prize. That they will desire to see the captives set free. They will desire to see the hurt, the sick and the poor set free. Pray that our children, our CG mates, our church will lay their lives for kingdom cause. Let us press in for the next 1 minute. Let us pray, believing that in the name of Jesus, when we pray this prayer, it will grow God's kingdom in our hearts, in the church and in our children's life. More seconds on the same slide. Your partner should be the one praying right now. Let us press in and believing that God will not only answer our prayers, He will exceed our prayers. Ten more seconds. Right, the last slide. We pray for Singapore. We pray for churches in Singapore. We pray that God will build His kingdom here, that the darkness will fear. We pray that God will show His mighty hand. He will heal our streets and our land. We pray that God will set His church in Singapore on fire, that we will win Singapore back. We pray that God will change the atmosphere and build His kingdom here in our land. That no force of the hell can ever stop us. We pray that His beauty will change the hearts of the people. We pray for God to awaken the kingdom seeds in His church in Singapore. Come, let us pray together. Father, we give thanks to You that You are on the move. Revive Your church. That we will steward our calling well, our destiny well. We will not just be prosperous. Out of our blessing, our prosperity, we will seek to be a blessing. We will reach the lost and the far, the near and the far, the least and the lost. That You open our eyes, not just be busy in building our own kingdom, our own career. Open our eyes, set our hearts on fire. That Your church in Singapore will build Your kingdom. Nothing less, nothing more. Your kingdom. So may You revive our hearts. May You set our hearts on fire to see in our lifetime, to see Singapore revived. We desire to see Singapore revived. We know that when we pray in the name of Jesus, You will move. You will not only answer, You will surpass our prayers. 30 more seconds. 30 more seconds. Let us press in. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone says, Amen. Praise God. I want to end with this story. God will continue to build His kingdom even when evil seems to flourish. Efforts done in the name of Jesus feel so insignificant. You know, I've been on a church staff for maybe about 20 years. I've done different portfolios, different departments, and I must say the most difficult department that I'm serving is the next generation department. Why? Because Because when we keep laboring the next generation, we often see the evil flourishing in their lives. Right? For those of you parents, DMKs, you can identify. And sometimes when we see so much evil flourishing in their generation, we can feel really discouraged and distracted. But I often encourage the parents and my church staff, my TNG staff, just because we see evil flourishing, it doesn't mean we stop sowing. We keep sowing, we keep praying, we keep sowing and keep praying, believing that the seeds will be rooted, they will be awakened, they will grow. In last June, we planned the Generations Camp. On the first day of the camp, a covenanter, an adult from a BBJ who signed up to serve, came to me on the first day of the camp about 9 or 10 a.m. She asked if her nephew could join the Generations Camp. Her nephew is non-believer. I hesitated, not because I don't welcome the nephew. I hesitated wondering, would the non-Christian nephew really be excited over our Gen's Camp at such a last-minute notice? And then I told my staff, let us pray. Just pray. And then just welcome the nephew. So by the grace of God, on the second day, the nephew prayed to receive Christ. Because we just prayed. Just prayed. Praise God. On the third day, we were supposed to send out the youth, the adults, the DMKs, the parents to go out and share the three circles, the gospel. The three circles is to share the gospel. And then we told the kids, go and date your friends for a meal and then get an opportunity to share the gospel. For the younger ones, be daring to date your grandparents. Because your parents have done their very best to try to reach them for Christ. And then often, the grandparents will tell them, I'm not interested, and then just, you know, slam us down, you know. But when the grandchildren date the grandparents, it's another story. They give time, they give attention, and they give love. So I always tell the next generation, be courageous, date your grandparents and share the gospel, and reach them for Christ, because your parents have done their very best. So that afternoon, some dated their friends, grandparents, ex-colleagues, because the parents went out with them as well. They dated friends and etc. So we look at the program like that. We chua-chua means we really, with fear and trembling, we don't know what, how it will turn out. But I told the staff and the DMKs and the parents, just pray. And then on the last day, they gave wonderful reports. Friends interested to know Christ. They're not ready to accept yet, but they came for the night rally of Generations Camp. And 7 people prayed to receive Christ on the third day of Generations Camp. We praise God. What did we do? We really just prayed. The power of prayer. When you see, God will continue to build His kingdom even when evil seems to flourish. Efforts done in the name of Jesus appear so insignificant. Keep sowing, keep praying. The kingdom seeds are awakening. Do you not see? Do you not hear? Let us rise and let us sing this song aloud. The lyrics of this song are the 3 prayer slides that you prayed just now. Because you prayed it, we are able to sing it aloud over your lives, over your children, and over our land.
Amen. Holy Spirit, guide us, invade us now. Come set your rule.
Come set your rule. Oh,
We're glad you had spent some time listening to God's Word, and we hope that the message has ministered to you. You can visit us at www.cefc.org.sg for more sermon titles. God bless you in your spiritual pilgrimage ahead.